right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today is February 5th, 2026. And our top story this morning, everybody was laughing about it yesterday. They were going around on Twitter and they had a good laugh, but I don't think people fully appreciate what's about to happen at the Super Bowl. And by the way, there's a lot of big things going on this morning. It was hard to pick a main story this morning, but I really think this is one that's going under the radar. Anthropic has come out with a string of ads targeting OpenAI. They don't explicitly mention OpenAI, but the first one I saw is this young guy in a room with his therapist, and he's talking to his therapist, and he says, oh, I feel like I can't connect with my mother. What do you recommend? And of course, the therapist has this really awkward reaction and, you know, just kind of staring off into space, ends up saying, hey, if this doesn't work out, you could always go to this cougar website. And it basically warns you that ads are coming to ChatGPT. And there's four different versions of this ad are going around. All of them are actually rather brilliantly acted. I couldn't help but notice the people who are trying to appear inauthentic did a really good job of portraying a personified chatbot. And it's drawing attention to the fact that ChatGPT is going to have ads, something Sam Altman just a year ago told us was a last resort for a tech company's business model. So Sam Altman is on his last resort. Now, everybody's going to be laughing about this and, okay, you know, this is great and it's going to be a joke and people are going to be talking about it. But I don't think people appreciate the effect this is going to have on the investment world. Now, think about it. OpenAI is about to go from the next big thing to the punchline of a joke in every Super Bowl party in America. These ads are going to run. People are going to have their laugh. And then somebody in the room is going to say, wait, why are ads coming to ChatGPT? Why are they putting ads in ChatGPT? And then somebody else in the room is going to say, because OpenAI loses money. And they're going to say, wait, OpenAI loses money? I thought AI was awesome and they're all getting rich. No, OpenAI loses money. And that conversation gets going. And then they're going to be hit with that ad. Every punt, every touchdown, every field goal over and over again and a 2-minute warning. And people are going to be like, oh, I thought AI was taking over the world. Turns out it's a money furnace, like Weird Jack has been saying for 3 years. Now, this is weird uncle syndrome or the weird uncle effect. We have seen this before. We saw this and we talked about this back in last fall at Thanksgiving. I said, hey, weird uncle is going to show up at Thanksgiving dinner and talk about all the money he's making in silver. And everybody's going to come back from Thanksgiving break and they're going to buy silver. And that's exactly what happened. Same thing happened after Christmas. We saw the same thing in 2017 in particular with Bitcoin after Bitcoin first touched 10,000 right around Thanksgiving of 2017. And then everybody went and talked to their weird uncle about all the money he was making in Bitcoin. The next week, everyone and their brother started a Coinbase account and bought Bitcoin, took the price right up almost to 20,000 before Bitcoin winter started. We have seen how these gatherings can influence investment behavior. And when the next big thing turns into the punchline of a joke, I have to wonder on Monday morning, how many people are going to call their guy and say, get me out of anything AI related? I bet you that's going to be a very significant number of people at a time when the market is already showing warning signs of illiquidity. There are no buyers for this shit. So I think come Monday morning, anything AI related is going to be toxic. And look, Anthropic, hilarious ads, but the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater. And although Anthropic has had some good developments recently, and really it was their recent Claude tool that they released that has started this panic in software, if the broader AI space melts down, Anthropic won't be spared either. And Super Bowl commercials have historically triggered. We saw it with the dot-com bowl. We saw it with the crypto bowl a few years ago. Super Bowl commercials and ad spends on Super Bowl commercials. This is a slightly different take on that because typically they highlight how much money companies are wasting on the ads. But in this case, it's not the money wasted on the ad that's going to be the topic of conversation. It's going to be the fact that the companies waste money in the first place and how nobody realized that. It's going to be brutal Monday morning. Call me crazy. Now, as all of this is going on, we got Google earnings yesterday. And Google's earnings were fantastic. Alphabet beat on the top and bottom lines, and they announced that they are doubling their CapEx spend. They are burning even more money on AI and data centers, and the stock is down. That is also a paradigm shift in the narrative. We saw the same thing with Microsoft, with an unexpected increase in their CapEx, and the shareholders punished them for it. Even Meta, you know, Meta initially popped on their earnings, but go look at Meta now. It's below where it was before it reported. Even Meta is down after announcing big CapEx spend increase. The market doesn't want this crap anymore. And by the way, if capital allocation and conservative use of investor money is a priority for you, maybe Meta's not the right stock for you. I'm just going to throw that out there. You do what you want with it. But the market is rejecting CapEx increases now. What happens if the hyperscalers scale back their CapEx? I'm amazed they haven't done it yet. It continues to amaze me. But it's coming. Now, another thing related to this AI bubble, Bitcoin. Selling off hard this morning, crashing below 70,000. And we've been warning about this for about the last week. We've been highlighting this 74,400-ish level that was support going all the way back to the Liberation Day panic. We smashed through that support yesterday. The next support level below here is a hell of a lot lower. And we'll show you where that next support level is. It's a good way down. And look, guys, we still haven't seen any blowups yet. We still haven't seen anything like the Terra Luna collapse or anything like the Three Arrows Capital or FTX that we saw last winter, or BitConnect or OneCoin that we saw the winter before that, or Mt. Gox the winter before that. We haven't seen anything like that yet, which means this winter is just really getting underway. Even though we're already down about 40% from our highs, there was a long way to go here. And by the way, how many of these bargain basement data center companies out there, like Core Scientific or Applied Digital or Digital Realty, how many of these like second-rate data center companies are really Bitcoin miners and have most of their value tied up in their Bitcoin holdings? How are they going to pay for their compute and AI data centers and, you know, all the crap that they're going to rent to CoreWeave? How are they going to pay for all this shit if their Bitcoin holdings drop by 40%? The AI bubble and crypto are attached at the hip, and they're going to go down together. Watch that level. That is important as well. And, you know, speaking of this, speaking of the illiquidity and the fear and how everything is attached at the hip, and we're seeing big risk-off sentiment, gold and silver are resuming their sell-off this morning. I told you it was hard to pick a title this morning. It was hard to pick a top story. This is crazy, guys. Gold and silver are selling off in a risk-off move in this market. All right, that's the only way to explain it. Gold and silver are not risk-off assets, but right now they're trading like one. And why is it? Because that rally in gold and silver got way out over its skis. I tried to warn people about this. I was enjoying it, but I told everybody, look, be careful on leverage. Don't forget to take profits on the way up. This isn't supposed to happen. Gold and silver are not supposed to trade like meme coins or data center shitcoats. And we're seeing the unwind of that. That means a lot of that rally in gold and silver that we saw in November and December, it wasn't real, guys. And this sucks. A lot of people don't want to hear it. I'm going to get a lot of grief in the comments. But we warned yesterday that two-day rally we saw Monday and Tuesday, that it looked an awful lot like the return to normal on that famous anatomy of a market rally chart. And that is exactly what it ended up being. And we're selling off hard again this morning. We're going to take another look at that chart, guys. I think support is probably a lot lower from here. Look, I still like the shiny. I still like gold and silver, but when things go vertical, it's time to step back and just let the market do what it wants to do. All right. Also going on this morning, we've got labor data. Challenger job cuts came out. The most January job cuts since 2009. Oh, that was a good year. Very good year. We also got initial and continuing jobless claims this morning. Labor market not looking good. We got Volvo stock is getting absolutely destroyed this morning by the combination of U.S. tariffs and Chinese electric vehicle competition. Iran just seized two tankers in the Persian Gulf. So it really looks like the bombs and the missiles are going to start flying again. We talked about the drone that was shot down and the tanker that was harassed yesterday. Now they have just seized two more tankers. Peloton is doing Peloton shit this morning. They're down 9% off of lousy earnings. We've got a big hack. This story just broke in Bloomberg this morning. There was a hack from an unnamed country that was definitely China, hacked the governments of 37 different countries, according to Palo Alto. That's fun. And to wrap up the show, we've got this story about KKR. Now, they missed on their earnings and their stock is down a little bit, but that's not the story I want to talk about with KKR. The story I want to talk about is insurance. In a very good post I saw on Twitter yesterday, we need to talk about what private equity is doing in the insurance market. Stick around for the end of the show. You're not going to want to miss that, guys. We have got a whole hell of a lot to talk about this morning. So why don't we shrink my big melon of a head? Don't forget that like button. Don't forget that subscribe button for you new guys so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every single day. And I'm going to need some wake-up juice to get through this one. This is a rough one going on this morning, guys. S&P 500 down 46 points. The broader sell-off from AI worries and software worries is continuing this morning. By the way, the sell-off accelerated around 7:15 a.m. I don't know why 7:15 a.m. I don't think there was any big earnings were released at that point. There was no economic data came out. The market just took a dump right around 7:15 Eastern time. The Dow is also down 194 points. Now, an interesting thing about the Dow that I want to mention, I've got a little shopping list here on my sticky notes of a couple of recession-proof stocks that I've had my eye on over the last couple of months, some names that I might consider buying during a recession. I haven't bought any of these names, but I'm just going to rattle off a few. Hormel, Kraft Heinz, Coca-Cola, General Mills, Clorox, Campbell Soup. These are all like consumer names that people buy during a recession or not. Now, I don't own any of those names. Those are just names that I am thinking about buying. Almost every one of these names was up between 2 and 5% yesterday. You can see the market is getting out of this risky tech shitco and back into safe names. The market is positioning for something. I don't know what, but you can see it happening. But right now, the Dow is not being spared the selling, off by 0.37%. We've got the NASDAQ is leading the way lower, off by 0.86%, another 215 points. The sell-off in tech led by software continuing this morning. The dollar is pretty much unchanged here, down a fraction of 1 point at 97.62. The strengthening of the dollar from 96.2 to 97.6 has played a role somewhat since the announcement of Kevin Warsh in this risk-off mentality, but I really don't think that was the primary driver. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields moving a little bit lower here, especially in the middle of the yield curve. So a little bit of bond buying here. 30-year yield is at 4.892. That's off by 2 points and change. The 10-year is at 4.235%, off by 4 points and change. The 2-year is at 3.504%, down by 5.5 points. And the 1 month is at 3.685, unchanged. So it looks like the big move is in the 2-year, 3-year, and the 5-year this morning. Looking over at the commodities board, it is a bloodbath in metals once again. This metal volatility, guys, and gold and silver selling off in a risk-off market. Again, all of these historical correlations are breaking down and not working here. Spot gold, 48.19, off by another 144 bucks or 2.92% lower. Look at the intraday volatility. We were as high as 5,023, as low as 47.90. You know, you're looking at like almost $250 of intraday swings in gold still. April COMEX futures, 48.38. That's down by 110 bucks, 2.25%. Again, 48 to 5,000 range trading this morning. Silver is wildly volatile once again. Look at this volatility, 74.45 for spot silver. We hit a high of 90 bucks and 41 cents, a low of 73.55. 17 bucks. Of intraday swing in silver. What the hell? Currently down $13.68, 15.5% lower. March COMEX futures, 73.88, off by 10 bucks, $10.43, 12.3% lower. Again, wildly volatile. We're going to look at the chart in just a minute. Copper is down a little bit, 0.9% move for copper. Palladium getting dragged down by precious metals, 7.7% lower. I'm sorry, platinum down 7.7%. Palladium faring a little better, down by 3.5%. And crude oil, this is interesting. We've got the Iranians are seizing tankers in the Middle East. The Navy is shooting down Iranian drones. And West Texas Intermediate is lower by 3%, off by $1.96 at $63.18 a barrel for March WTI futures. Right now, recession worries are outweighing the risk of missiles flying in the Middle East. And there's a very high likelihood of bombs and missiles flying in the Middle East very soon here. So the market is really worried about a recession at this point. All right, now the silver chart. We warned about this one yesterday. And, you know, yesterday we were looking pretty good. We had those 2 days of green and everybody was starting to celebrate. Yep, upward. And I warned guys. I said, look, we've seen this pattern before. We know what this looks like. In particular, we have seen this pattern before. This is textbook. And I threw this chart up on the screen, the anatomy of a market mania. And I warned that we were in the return to normal phase with that 2 days of buying. And I said, you know, it's encouraging to see a little bit of green, but I'm still hands off the panel. I want to see where this thing settles out. I want to wait until the volatility stops. The volatility has not stopped. And right now, guys, it looks like we're entering fear and capitulation soon. Now, I don't know where this dotted line is. My gut tells me it's somewhere in the 50s. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but 50, that was that ceiling, that 50-year cup and handle ceiling. And everybody was like, okay, when we get to that, where do we go? That's when charting stops working because, you know, there's nothing to compare it to. We blew right through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s up into 120. That's really the only support level, guys. And until this liquidity fear goes away, I'm worried this dotted line is a hell of a lot lower. I still like the shiny. I still own a lot of silver. I still own some mining companies. Just be careful here, guys. And look, Bitcoin looks even worse. Bitcoin just getting absolutely demolished here. 69,563 for Bitcoin, off by another 4,000 from yesterday. We've been watching this top red line here. That was the low from the Liberation Day tariffs, also the high from immediately prior to the Bitcoin halving. We have broken down below that level now. So where is the next support level? In my opinion, the next support level isn't until $49,000. That was the low from the August 5th, 2024 yen carry trade panic, and it was also the high immediately following the announcement of Bitcoin ETFs. And I think that is our next support level. That is sharply lower from here, 50,000. Now, look, even that level would still be mild by Bitcoin winter standards. We talked about how in a couple of prior streams, how the last two crypto winters, Bitcoin sold off 80% peak to trough. And with a high of around 125,000, an 80% sell-off takes us all the way down to around $25,000. So look, Bitcoin has a long way to fall here. And as Bitcoin falls, there's a lot you got to worry about. All right, let's talk a little bit here. Bitcoin falls below 70,000 as market faces a crisis of faith. And that's putting it mildly. Bitcoin slumped below 70,000, a level last seen 15 months ago, as a broad risk-off sentiment engulfed global markets. The largest cryptocurrency is extending a downward spiral that has seen it shed more than 44% from its peak in October of last year. Bitcoin tumbled as low as 69,000 in early New York trading on Thursday and is hovering around the lowest levels since Trump's early election win in early November 2024. The market is currently navigating a crisis of faith, said Shiliang Tang, member of Monarch Asset Management. Liquidations have been heavy, sentiment has swung risk off, and price action is now being driven more by balance sheet mechanics than narrative flow, said Wenny Cai, chief operating officer of trading platform Sin Futures. This doesn't signal the end of institutional participation, but it does mark the end of complacency. The end of complacency, I think that is a dangerous sentence or a dangerous phrase for this market, because there is complacency freaking everywhere in tech stocks, in crypto, yes, in precious metals. When we're at $121 and people are bidding 38% premiums to net asset value for Chinese ETFs, that's complacency. Private equity, commercial real estate, complacency everywhere. This doesn't signal the end, but it does mark the end of complacency. Powerful statement there. Markets entered a period of synchronized selling on Wednesday with the NASDAQ 100 down more than 2% and losses spreading across software, chip makers, and other rate-sensitive corners of the equity market. Stock declines continued Thursday with most benchmarks in Asia and Europe lower. And last but not least, guys, we got to look at Strategy. That stock down pretty big here, and MicroStrategy reports earnings after the bell. Uh-oh. MicroStrategy is going to report a big loss after the bell. Keep your eye on this one, guys, and maybe not so much MicroStrategy, because MicroStrategy is the biggest one here. But keep in mind, you've also got like Octo Holdings, and how many of these like dead penny stock shitcos decided all of a sudden they're going to be a shitcoin treasury company about a year ago. And we were doing it morning after morning. We were showing these 1,000 point surges in the values of these stocks of dead companies. And I was saying, this is going to end in a bloodbath. Well, it's here. So Strategy is really just the big one at the top of this pyramid. There's a lot of smaller altcoin treasuries like Tom Lee's BitMine. All these companies are going to blow up. And honestly, I think that is what's going to accelerate the losses and probably bring us down to that next support level around 49,000. Also, Google parent Alphabet shares are down pre-market after its earnings beat. And here's what's happening. It was a great quarter for Alphabet, and the market doesn't care because they're spending too much bloody money. Alphabet shares were down in pre-market trading on Tuesday after the company beat expectations on earnings and revenue, with AI spending projected to increase hugely this year. The Google parent shed 2.6% in pre-market as of 6:09 a.m. Eastern time after closing nearly 2% lower on Wednesday. After the bell, Alphabet reported $113.83 billion in revenue for the fourth quarter, above estimates for $111.43 billion from the analyst poll by LSEG. Its Google Cloud division earned $17.66 billion in revenue versus forecast of $16.18 billion. YouTube advertising, a little bit disappointing, the YouTube advertising. I blame myself. $11.38 billion in revenue versus the estimated $11.84 billion. I'm sorry, guys. I'll fix that. I swear. The tech giant said it would significantly increase its 2026 CapEx to between $175 and $185 billion, more than double its 2025 spend, which was fundamentally insane in and of itself. So yeah, let's go ahead and double that. Oh, you like crazy? How about too crazy? A significant portion of CapEx spending would go towards investing in AI compute capacity for Google DeepMind. Deutsche Bank analysts said in a note Thursday that Alphabet has stunned the world with its huge CapEx spending plan. With tech in a current state of flux, yeah, they're all fluxed, it's not clear whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, they wrote. Come on, guys. It is abundantly clear what kind of thing this is. Google stock, after reporting a blowout earnings, is down almost 6% this morning. It is abundantly clear that this market does not want data center CapEx anymore. Oh, you think I'm kidding? Let's look at what Microsoft has done since their last earnings call. Microsoft stock, come on, don't do this to me. Give me my chart, Yahoo Finance. Microsoft stock, oh, here was their last earnings call when they nearly doubled their CapEx. Oh, the stock is down about $80 since that. What's about $500 billion of market cap that Microsoft has shed since they reported earnings? Even Meta is now lower than they were prior to reporting their earnings. And Meta shareholders historically don't give a shit how much money the company wastes. Well, all of a sudden they do. Look at them this morning, trading at $659, below where they were before they reported their earnings beat. The market does not want data center CapEx anymore. And well, let's just say I'm feeling very good about my NVIDIA shorts this morning. Even though the last I looked, NVIDIA stock was up, I don't think that's going to last. I think this bubble is done, and I just can't wait to see what happens Monday morning after the Super Bowl commercials. Also going on this morning, Challenger job cuts. U.S.-based employers announced 108,435 job cuts in January of 2026. Now, typically we see a surge in job cuts in January, don't get me wrong. But whoa, this is the highest level since October and the largest January total since 2009. And it compares to just 33,553 cuts announced in December. Generally, we see a high number of job cuts in the first quarter, but this is a high total for January. It means most of these plans were set at the end of 2025, signaling employers are less than optimistic about the outlook for 2026, said Andy Challenger, Chief Revenue Officer for Challenger Gray and Christmas. Transportation announced the highest number, 31,243, primarily due to UPS. The company announced it would cut 30,000 jobs after severing ties with Amazon. Technology announced 22,291 cuts, with the bulk of those coming from Amazon, 16,000, as it restructures layers of management. Healthcare companies and health products manufacturers announced 17,107 cuts. Now, that's interesting because we got the ADP private payrolls a couple of days ago, and that showed that healthcare was adding jobs. Now, Challenger only counts job cut announcements. It doesn't care about hiring. So it's possible, even though we had 17,000 cuts in healthcare, you had more people hired elsewhere. So it was still a net gain. but I was still very surprised to see healthcare ranking so high in the job cuts category. Meanwhile, employers announced 5,306 hiring plans, the lowest total for the month since records began in 2009. That's the second comparison to 2009 in this report. Oh, good. 2009 was such a good year. And here you can see 108,000 for January, a big jump in job cuts. We also got initial jobless claims came out. We saw a step change higher in initial jobless claims to 231,000. That is sharply above expectations for 212,000 and well above the 209,000 we got last week. It's also worth noting these numbers have been highly unreliable, in my opinion, since the government shutdown last fall. So let's take these with a grain of salt. We also got continuing jobless claims. They increased to 1,844,000. That is up from 1,819,000 in the previous week. Again, these numbers not very reliable since we saw the government shutdown come to an end. All right, let's talk about this one now. Tough times for the European car market. Sweden's Volvo Cars is down 25%. Here's why the automaker is on track for its worst day ever. Shares of Sweden's Volvo Cars tumbled more than 25% on Thursday, putting the company on track for its worst trading day ever. The automaker, which is owned by China's Geely Holdings, posted a substantial drop in fourth quarter operating profit, citing the impact of U.S. tariffs, negative currency effects, and weak demand. By the way, what the hell? A Chinese private equity firm owns Volvo? When did that happen? But I digress. U.S. tariffs, negative currency effects, and weak demand. In particular, weak demand in China really hitting Volvo here. Volvo said their fourth quarter operating income, excluding items affecting comparability, came in at 1.8 billion Swedish kroner, reflecting a 68% drop compared to the same period a year ago. Their profit fell off a cliff. We have a very challenging market, especially in China. Very tough competition. All of our European colleagues have the same problem, Volvo Cars CEO Håkan Samuelsson said in a CNBC interview with Europe Early Edition on Thursday. The U.S. and the EU agreed to a framework trade deal in July of last year, one which saw the Trump administration impose a blanket tariff of 15% on most EU goods, a significant reduction from Trump's threat of 30%, and almost halving the tariff rate on Europe's auto sector from 27.5%. Industry groups, which tentatively welcomed the trade deal at the time, expressed deep concern about the costs associated with the new tariffs. Volvo Cars has long been considered one of the most exposed European car makers to U.S. tariffs. So the 1-2 punch of weak demand in China due to their market being absolutely flooded with money-losing electric vehicles combined with tariffs on selling into the U.S. have seen a 68% drop in Volvo's profits, and that company stock is lost a quarter of its value in one day because of it. Meanwhile, we've got this one in the Economic Times, which has way too many ads, by the way. Iran guards seize two foreign crude tankers in the Gulf. We don't know any details about these tankers yet, but Iran's Revolutionary Guards have seized two oil tankers with their foreign crews in Gulf waters for smuggling fuel, the Tasnim news agency reported on Thursday. It was not immediately clear what flags the tankers were carrying, nor the nationalities of the crew. The seizures took place amid heightened tensions after Washington dispatched a naval group to the region following Tehran's deadly response to anti-government protests. So the Iranians are messing with the boats again. Look, historically, things don't go well for the Iranians when they mess with the boats, and they want to mess with the boats again. All right, enter FAFO has entered the chat. Look, we shot down a drone yesterday. Then they harassed another tanker. It looks like an Arleigh Burke destroyer ran off the fast boats that were harassing that tanker. They ended up getting two more yesterday. Guys, it's very surprising to see oil trading lower with this going on. Now, this is absolutely a risk to higher oil prices, but the fact that the oil market doesn't care about this goes to show you how worried the oil market is about a supply glut, especially as recession talk gets louder and louder. But keep in mind, guys, this is starting to look like everybody knows wars start on Friday, so we probably won't see the bombs flying until after the bell tomorrow. But keep an eye on this one. This situation continues to escalate. Meanwhile, Peloton slashes their sales outlook, misses estimate despite hardware debut. This is one of my favorite companies in the world because it's just so awful. It's like watching Meet the Parents for the first time. You're so embarrassed. You get like secondhand embarrassment for the company, but you can't help. You just can't look away. You have to keep watching. And that's Peloton here. Shares of Peloton Interactive fell after the company provided a weaker than expected revenue forecast for the fiscal third quarter, disappointing investors who hoped a recent hardware revamp would spur a long-promised turnaround. It also said its CFO, Liz Coddington, will be leaving the company to pursue another opportunity. Yeah, CFO abruptly leaving, that's always a good sign. Coddington will stay through March, and Peloton has begun a search for her successor. Revenue for the current period will be $605 million to $625 million, the company said in a Thursday statement, representing a 1% decline from the prior year and falls short of the average Bloomberg estimate of $637 million. The outlook range for the fiscal year ended June was reduced to a maximum of $2.44 billion, or a 3% drop, again missing expectations. New York-based Peloton last fall debuted a slew of AI-powered treadmills and bikes and other new products, which were supposed to spark a turnaround. I'm sure Cathie Wood was very excited about that. The line marked the company's first significant hardware overhaul in years, as well as its first under new chief executive officer, Peter Stern, who joined the brand early last year. But the company said Thursday that its latest offering hadn't sold as well as expected. Shocking turn of events, leading to a sales decline of 3% in the December quarter to $656.5 million. AI-powered treadmills, and they couldn't find buyers. AI-powered bikes, and there were no buyers. Shocking, I know. What does AI do on a treadmill, by the way? Does it make the belt turn smarter? I don't know. Peloton down 26%. Wow. Even Volvo is holding their beer this morning. They're out losing Volvo here. But look at this chart over the last 5 years, down 96.25% since their peak in 2021. This is like your quintessential Cathie Wood ARK Invest stock. I just love to watch this. I don't know why. I don't know. I just can't look away. Not a good day for Peloton. Also, we got hackers hit sensitive targets in 37 nations in vast spying plot. State-aligned attackers targeted government agencies and critical infrastructure. And for some reason, this article is afraid to say China, even though we all know it was effing China. An Asian cyber espionage group has spent the past year breaking into computer systems belonging to governments and critical infrastructure organizations in more than 37 countries, according to cybersecurity firm Palo Alto Networks. The state-aligned attackers have infiltrated networks of 70 organizations, including 5 national law enforcement and border control agencies, according to a new research report from the company. They've also breached 3 ministries of finance, 1 country's parliament, and a senior elected official in another, the report states. The Santa Clara, California-based firm declined to identify the hacker's country of origin, which was clearly China. The spying operation was unusually vast and allowed the hackers to hoover up sensitive information in apparent coordination with geopolitical events such as diplomatic missions, trade negotiations, political unrest, and military actions, according to the report. So there's our good friends over in the People's Republic of China doing what they always do. Oh, yay. Meanwhile, we got this one. Now, this is an interesting one to wrap up. KKR profit takes a hit from clawback at Asia Private Equity Fund. And it's not so much the clawback. We'll talk about the earnings report and the stock here, but it's at the end of this article that's so important. KKR reported a drop in fourth quarter profit, missing Wall Street estimates as assets declined and the firm took a charge for one of its private equity funds in Asia. Adjusted net income tumbled 15% to $1 billion or $1.12 a share. New York-based KKR said in a statement Thursday that fell short of the $1.15 average estimate surveyed by Bloomberg. The firm also said it. Okay, let's skip that. Okay, in November, KKR disclosed that it would refund $350 million of carried interest paid out on its Asia 2 fund and take a fourth quarter charge. Total investing earnings plunged 79%, driven by lower deal exits and the Asia clawback. So this Asia 2 fund has lost so much money, most likely because of the slowdown in consumption in China and the Chinese real estate collapse, that KKR had to give investors back performance fees. Carried interest is basically their share of the profits, which there haven't been any for some time now. So KKR is giving investors some of their money back, $350 million. Now, that is responsible for the earnings miss there. But still, assets under management rose 17% to $744 billion. KKR gathered $28 billion of fresh capital, led by the credit business that is almost certainly your 401k, IRA, or pension money. The firm raised a record $129 billion in 2025. Again, that's all retirement money. They also invested a quarterly record $32 billion during the final 3 months of the year. The firm's Global Atlantic Insurance Unit generated $260 million in profit during the period, a 7% increase. And you know what? It's that Atlantic Insurance, Global Atlantic Insurance, that I want to talk to you about. Because this is important, guys, and it's not until the last sentence that we get to this. All of these private equity and big asset management firms have been buying insurance companies. Why have they been buying insurance companies for the last few years? And I saw this excellent post from Whitney Baker on X yesterday from Totem Macro. And this really summarizes it very well. In case you're curious where the losses are, the private equity industry has been acquiring and then raiding the floats of 10% of U.S. life insurance assets. They've been filling them with private credit and direct lending, all using the same private ratings agency to misclassify the loan. And shout out to Whitney Baker at Totem Macro on X. This was a fantastic post. And we were just talking yesterday about commercial real estate. Where the hell are the losses in commercial real estate? And this is one of the answers. All these private equity firms, not just commercial real estate, but they've been doing this with private equity and private credit. They're buying insurance companies. And then they're selling their own dog shit debt investments to these insurance companies. And these insurance companies, you know, most people who have annuities, you know, like grandma has an annuity, she's on a fixed income, she needs that little bit of money every month. That's the kind of assets that those annuities buy. And private equity is using these insurance companies as dumping grounds for things like private credit and private equity holdings that we know are not worth what they're selling them to for. They're basically selling them to themselves using your money. And then this other part, they're using the same private ratings agency to misclassify the loans. And if that sounds a lot like The Big Short, that's because that's exactly what happened in The Big Short. The ratings agencies were not accurately marking the risk in these loans. So Whitney Baker, let me put on my tinfoil hat just so I can tip it to you for this very astute observation about what's going on in private equity with these asset managers and insurance. Really good post, guys. And again, there's so much of this dirt baggery going on in Wall Street right now. And there's one reason why these crashes, like the crash that we saw in private credit earlier this week, it can't come soon enough, because the losses right now are being moved from them to us. The sooner the crash happens, the more they eat the losses instead of us. They are raiding our retirements and our life insurance in order to pay for their own stupid decisions. And that's why sooner the better this market crashes. Very good job, Whitney Baker. Thank you for posting that one. And I just want to say thank you very much to the Pasta Man. What's going on, Nashville Pasta Man? He says, retail doesn't differentiate between AI companies, Claude, XAI, GPT, DeepSeek. It's all the same to me, the passive investment crowd. You're very right about that passive investment. And that's why I think Anthropic is probably going to regret these ads. I think these ads are going to be very effective, but the conversation that it starts, Anthropic is going to be dumped along with everything else. And remember, Anthropic, they burn through cash too, every bit as much as OpenAI does, at least on a, you know, on a percentage basis. Anthropic is another cash furnace, and they are dependent on an endless flow of new investment capital to keep burning that cash to stay alive. And so if everybody sees these ads about ChatGPT and everybody calls their guy and says, get me out of AI stocks, that investment capital is going to dry up across the whole freaking space. And now these AI companies, if that happens, won't have the capital to burn, won't be able to keep endlessly buying NVIDIA GPUs. And of course, NVIDIA, when that one goes, the whole NVIDIA is the house of cards. Full disclosure, I am short NVIDIA. So I agree with that sentiment very much, Pasta Man. Also, the passive investment crowd. That's interesting. We just had all those job cuts, the Challenger job cuts report, the disappointing initial and continuing claims. The labor market continues to weaken. For the last few years, we've seen an increase in hardship withdrawals and 401ks. What happens if this bubble does burst and say we get a surge in unemployment that goes along with it, along with a recession and a stock market crash, what happens when passive inflows into the stock market turn into passive outflows as more people start living off their 401ks than other people are paying in? Then everything sells off across the board. Nothing is spared in that scenario. So good point there about the passive crowd. Thank you, Pasta Man, for everything you do for the channel, sir. Mr. Espresso Beanies 8930 says, happy 2 month. OpenAI IPO, Microsoft kick out the door. I don't think OpenAI will IPO, to be honest with you, Espresso. I really don't. I think the story about the OpenAI IPO, that's a lot of letters, later this year, I think that was leaked to the press on purpose to help Sam Altman raise desperately needed money from Saudi and Emirati oil sheiks. I think that's why everybody was talking about the OpenAI IPO. OpenAI, in order to IPO, they would have to issue what's called an S-1 filing. And an S-1 filing is the IPO equivalent of the end of a pharmaceutical company, pharmaceutical ad. When you know, okay, after the little girl and the old man skipping in the field and having a picnic and ask your doctor about Entyvio or whatever the heck it is, then they say like side effects include arms falling off, broken necks, sudden death, you know, your skin melting off. We dare you to take this shit. That's what an S-1 filing is in an IPO. OpenAI will have to open their books and list all the reasons why investing in this company is a really bad idea. And that they'll never do that. Once people see inside those books, forget it. I think that will never happen. They would have IPO'd already if they could have. I don't think they can do it. I think they wanted people to think the IPO was coming and therefore, okay, I'll take part in your Series J investing round or whatever they're in right now because I know the exit liquidity will be there when they IPO. It'll make it easier for them to raise cash. That's what I think was going on with that one. Thank you, Espresso, for supporting the channel, sir. By the way, Microsoft backed the wrong horse in the AI race. That is becoming abundantly clear as well. Microsoft has had a brutal 6 months. Citrus MO or Citrus Missouri, maybe, says, love Dario and what they're doing tech-wise, but talking about Dario Amodi, the CEO of Anthropic. But this Super Bowl ad is a Sam Altman Silicon Valley insular economy move. They can't help themselves. You know, it's funny you should mention Sam Altman. Because Sam Altman wrote a freaking essay yesterday accusing Anthropic of being like tyrannical or like some kind of oppressive government. When Sam Altman goes into these narcissistic rages via Twitter essays, it's never a good sign for OpenAI or for the AI bubble. The last time Sam Altman did something like this was after Sarah Friar asked for a government bailout and then gaslit the whole freaking world, telling us they didn't ask for a government bailout. Yes, you did. I know what my ears heard, you twit. So Sam Altman going into a Twitter essay, another really bad sign that this ad from Anthropic really has them worried. And again, they're hilarious, but I think it's going to blow up in Anthropic's face. I think they're going to regret running those ads. They're going to be so effective, it's going to drag Anthropic down with it. Call me crazy, but I really think that's coming. Thank you very much, Citrus, for supporting the channel. Armando, what's going on, brother? He says, I see Tether buying out Bitcoin. It doesn't really work like that. Bitcoin isn't a company. You can't really, I mean, could Tether buy all the Bitcoin? Theoretically, yes. But if they try it, the price is going to approach infinity and they won't be able to. And you know what that means. Tether will be our central bank digital currency, but that's just me. Tether... I'm less worried about Tether and a CBDC because Tether still does most of their business overseas. They're trying to become U.S. compliant, but they're not yet. Something like Circle's USDC is more, I would say we're more at risk of a CBDC there because they're already U.S. compliant and established in our banking system. That being said, keep an eye on Tether's peg. Kirian Van Hest at Deso Games has had some excellent posts recently. And admittedly, a lot of it goes right over my head. Kirian is brilliant. He's so smart. It's hard for me to understand what he's saying sometimes. But Kirian is very sharp. And he has been correctly pointing out a lot of the BS going on at Binance. And the fact that Tether's peg has been weakening recently. Tether went as low as 99.97 cents yesterday, which is the lowest it's been. Correct me if I'm wrong, some of you crypto guys out there. But I don't think Tether's peg has been this weak since FTX collapsed. There are things making funny noises in the plumbing of the crypto world right now, and Tether is in the midst of it. So good point bringing that one up, Armando, although I don't think Tether is going to buy out Bitcoin. I don't think it really works that way. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel, sir. Zeebel Fritz, been a Melonhead for 20 months. He says, where do you park money when everything is crashing? When everything is crashing, cash is where you park money. And a lot of people are going to be like, oh, with inflation, bruh, how do you park in cash while the Fed prints money away? Any asset you buy, if we're really entering a massive liquidity crunch and a across-the-board sell-off, and keep in mind, we're risk-off right now, guys, and gold and silver are selling off in a risk-off environment. Understand the profundity of that statement. That means there's not really a safe place to park your money when everything is crashing because the safe havens are selling off too. So you can hide in T-bills and you can make 3-4% while that's going on. And you're probably going to be safe in there. The T-bill market's not going to break down, or you can just sit in cash, you know, and look, any asset, if we really are entering a acute liquidity crisis, they're swift and they're violent. Any asset you would buy now would probably be cheaper after such an event. That being said, we know how the Fed will run its typical playbook. They'll spin up the money printers, they'll lower rates. So you have to be quick. If you are going to park in cash, when you see the money printer flip back on, when you see the rates start cutting, and I know the money printer's already on, but it's at $40 billion a month right now. I'm talking about like the trillions in money printing. When that comes back, that is the time when you got to get in quick, because you're going to miss the boat if you're sitting in cash when that happens. Just be careful, guys. And again, during illiquid times, avoid leverage. Leverage will wipe you out in minutes in this environment. Thank you, Zeebel Fritz, for supporting the channel. Mr. Richard Bell, R1H, says, DeSantis says no more AI in this state. DeSantis says no more AI, and Bernie Sanders says no more AI. What the hell kind of a world are we living in when Bernie Sanders and Ron DeSantis are on the same page? What kind of twisted, effed up book do you find Ron DeSantis and Bernie Sanders on the same page of? The book of 2026, apparently. Yep, I saw that. I also saw a story yesterday about, who is it? Applied Digital announced they've started construction on this 430 megawatt data center at an undisclosed location. And they say that they are not announcing the location. Why are they not announcing the location? Probably because nobody wants a freaking data center in their town. Extrapolate that across this whole build out. Nobody wants this stuff. The Republicans don't want it. The Democrats don't want it. I'm assuming the Libertarians don't want it, although Libertarians just want to be left alone most of the time. Again, another reason why this bubble, it's on borrowed time any day now. Thank you, Richard. Good point, sir. Thank you for supporting the channel. Ryan Morrissey says, does price drop even matter if you're just selling then trading silver for gold sub 60? Ratio or wait for higher prices? Your thoughts. So the important thing when you're trading the gold to silver ratio, understand you are going to pay a price for that trade, right? The coin dealer has to make a profit. And technically that is two transactions. You're selling your silver and you're buying your gold. You're going to pay a premium on both ends. The numbers may come across as prohibitive, but I've actually had this conversation with a couple of guys on my Patreon Zooms over the last couple of Fridays. A couple of them have made this trade, and we went through the premiums that they paid, and they actually weren't terrible. Initially, you might be like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. But then you realize it's really only 2 or 3 points in the gold to silver ratio to break even on the trade. So in that situation, when you're trading the gold to silver ratio, it's about increasing your weight over time. It's not about price. That's the important thing to keep in mind. Trading the gold to silver ratio is about increasing your total weight over a long period of time. It's not about the dollar value. It's independent of price. So trading the GSR, price doesn't even enter that equation. It's about the ratio. The dollars cancel each other out. It's a unitless denomination. Sorry, we got a little algebraic up in here, but thank you very much, Ryan Morrissey. It was a good question, sir. Thank you for supporting the channel. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. It's going to be another wild one. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Watch those ads. They're out on YouTube already. See if I'm wrong. Am I crazy? Or is the narrative really going to be flipped on its head come Monday morning? Let me know in the comments. Thank you, everybody, for the Super Chats. Thank you to my Patreon members, YouTube, Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee. Links all down below should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.